to a text of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and I want to read for your hearing, and I want you to open your Bible to that verse, verse number 21. We have a lot of ground to cover this morning, so we want to get right into the message. As a matter of fact, there's sometimes more material than we'll ever get to, but we have some things to say about this particular verse of Scripture. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 21. The Scripture says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I want us to think this morning on the subject, by faith, Jacob. By faith, Jacob. Hebrews 11 has been called the faith chapter in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this word faith is mentioned some 22 times in this 11th chapter. Those who are mentioned in this chapter all possessed and exercised faith. It says time and time again, by faith, by faith, by faith. Now, by way of introduction, they all exercised faith in different ways. Notice that in verse 4, Abel had a worship of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel had a worship of faith. Enoch had a walk of faith. In verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch had a walk of faith. Noah had a work of faith. In verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things as seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark, built a boat, if you would, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had a work of faith. Abraham had a willingness of faith. In verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, watch it church, not knowing whither he went. God told him to go. And Abraham said, where am I going? God said, I'll tell you when you get there. Now it takes a little bit of faith to start out on a trip like that. Abraham had a willingness of faith. Notice they all had different experiences in faith. Abel's faith killed him. It is because he offered the blood of an animal instead of doing what his brother Cain did, and Cain rose up and slew Abel. Abel's faith killed him. Enoch's faith kept him from dying. Well, he's just walking with God, and all of a sudden was not, for God took him. He just didn't die. They all had different degrees of faith. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Samson and Rahab, they're mentioned a little later on in this chapter. They didn't have too much faith. A little bit, but not as much as Father Abraham. Yet they all shared two things. Everybody mentioned died in faith, but Enoch walked with God and was not. But all the rest died in faith. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. Now, dear friend, you're going to die. You might as well get accustomed to that and get used to it, because it's going to happen. And it usually happens in a time when nobody's expecting it. Death is a very subtle enemy of ours that many times he comes calling and doesn't give any advance notice. It just happens that way. And those who die, and that's all of us, we're going to at one time or another, we'll either die in faith or we'll die outside of faith. We'll either die in faith or we'll die outside of faith. They're all a part of this cloud of witnesses. Incidentally, you have to go to the next chapter to see that. Wherefore? Whenever you see that word, wherefore, you ask it what it's there for. And he's been talking in verse 39 about all these people by faith, by faith, by faith. Wherefore, keep that in mind, the subject is all these people who are died by faith. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is today, ladies and gentlemen, a great cloud of witnesses in glory that are able to look down, I believe, on this earth and see brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and children who've trusted Christ as Savior, and they're engaged in the Christian race, and it's almost like they're in the grandstand up there telling us to go forward and be faithful to the very end. Being in faith, they shared these two things. They've been called the heroes of the faith. I've read after individuals who said all these people in Hebrews, chapter 11, by faith, they're called the Hebrews of the faith or the heroes of the faith, but that won't hold water because most were failures in many ways. Study their lives in detail. They've been called God's honor roll of Old Testament saints. And while to a certain extent that is true, yet there are some Old Testament saints that are not mentioned in Hebrews 11 that had greater faith than those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Thus, we come to our text, which raises three questions. And what is that text? It's verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. We come to our text, which raises three questions. Number one, what in the world is Jacob doing here? Of all people you would read in God's hall of faith, here comes Jacob. I mean, we understand he's talking about Abraham here. We understand when he said by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Sarah, and on it goes. And all of a sudden, verse 21, by faith Jacob. Jacob? What is he doing in chapter number 11 here among the faithful ones? You see, dear friends, it seems like Jacob's out of place. He's in a place that it doesn't look like he would be there, but he is there. Jacob was a very deceiving outfit. He was totally undeserving. And you know, we may be surprised when we get to heaven to see some people up there we thought never would be. Huh? Can you see walking up to somebody and say, "What are you doing up here?" And they'd respond by saying, "Well, what are you doing up here?" I tell you, if anybody's in heaven, they're there by the grace of God. The grace of God. So what is Jacob doing here? That's question number one. Number two, what is blessing the two sons of Joseph got to do with faith? Said that Joseph, in the text, he blessed the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. What's that got to do with faith? And the third thing is, when did Jacob ever worship? Study his life and answer that question. When did Jacob ever worship? It says, and worship leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob was a trophy of God's grace. And if you were a Christian today, you are a trophy of God's grace. You're not a Christian because of what you did. You're a Christian because of what someone else did on your behalf. And the believer and the Christian is a person who is a trophy of God's grace. Take a moment to turn to Romans 9. 10 through 13. Very important place in your Bible. Romans 9, 10 through 13. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, she did not have two separate children. She had two children at one time, by one, see. Even by our father Isaac, he was the father. Rebekah was the mother. And the babies, or the children, verse 11, being not yet born, what was their condition? Esau and Jacob had not yet been born. They were in the process of being born. But not yet being born, while they were still in their mother's womb, neither one of those boys had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. We're not based on what we've done. Our good deeds does not take to be taken into consideration. It was said unto her, the elder, which is Esau, or rather, yes, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Did you hear that? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Again, I repeat, Jacob had nothing to present to God but a life of fear and failure. No mother would ever want a son to be like Jacob. He was dishonest. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a hypocrite. He was a real scoundrel. He was a master trickster. Yet, God loved him. Now you say, I thought that God loved everybody. No. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Jacob was a trophy of God's grace. I want to, as briefly, yet at the same time, I wish I could mention all of them. I can't do that. A brief review of Jacob's life so that you might know what a sorry outfit he was. Jacob started fighting upon conception. Take a moment to go to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. That means she could not have any children. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children, watch this, struggled together within her. That word in the Hebrew, struggled, means to bruise and to crush, like two boxers in a boxing match. Jacob was always throwing punches while he was in his mother's womb. Esau was defending himself while in his mother's womb. And this was going on, so it caused a great deal of labor and a great deal of pain within her. And she wanted somebody to get in touch with the Lord to ask him this question. Why am I going through all this? How is it that others can have children without a whole lot of labor while there are those who have a struggle, a fighting match going on inside? Jacob started fighting upon conception. He didn't start fighting after he was born. He fought before he was born. Jacob tried to get ahead of Esau at birth. Same passage in Genesis 25. Look at verses 24 through 26. When the days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Esau of the two was the firstborn. He came out first. But watch this. After that came his brother out, that's Jacob, And his hand, that's Jacob's hand, took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Jacob, Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So as Jacob, or rather as Rebekah is having these twins, Esau comes out first, but little old Jacob sticks his hand out and grabs holds of him. In other words, he tried to impair the progress that his brother had made. He tried to get ahead of Esau. He wanted to be the firstborn. It all happened so quickly. Jacob set up Esau to get his birthright. In that same 25th chapter, look at verse 29. The Bible says this, Jacob sowed pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint. Now Jacob was a homeboy and Esau was a hunter. He was a deer man. He loved to hunt deer. He loved to hunt animals. Jacob sowed pottage. That means Jacob was in the kitchen washing dishes and cooking meals. And Esau came from the field and Esau was faint, been hunting deer all day and he's hungry. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold him his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. One of the greatest honor that a child in a family could have would be that of the firstborn. It meant that his inheritance would be doubled over the rest of the children. It would mean he held a place of honor, and yet he considered a bowl of bean soup more important than that, because it would take care of his hunger pains. And Jacob devised the whole thing. If I can get him hungry enough, he'll eat anything and he'll do anything, and I'll just cheat him out of his birthright. And that's what Jacob was a prince of a guy, really. He was real sharp fella. Jacob tricked his blind daddy to steal his brother's blessings. You have to read that for yourself in Genesis 27, verses 18, 19, and 29. Jacob ran from responsibility in Genesis 28, verse 10. And this is a good one. Jacob tried to cut a deal with God at Bethel. In the 28th chapter, when Jacob was running from Esau for his life, he just got so tired, he laid down and he made a pillar out of a stone and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. That's the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. And after the Lord made that appearance to Jacob, what was Jacob's statement here? It's very important. Jacob vowed a vow in verse 20 and said, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He's tried to strike up a deal with God. I tell you what, God, you take care of me and I'll take care of you. You ever done that before? I've heard of testimonies of men who served in wars coming back saying, you know what, I was in a foxhole and I thought the next bomb that was going to fall was landing on my head. I said, dear God, if you ever get me out of this, I tell you what, I'll serve you when I get back to the States. He said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you this, what's wrong with this? Lord, if you do allow a bomb to drop on my head, I'm going to serve you anyway. Isn't that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? If we have to burn, we burn, but we're going to serve the Lord anyway. But Jacob liked to bargain, and he tried to bargain with God at Bethel. Jacob beat Laban out of his cattle and his sheep. You ought to read Genesis 30, 25 through 43. Jacob tried to buy Esau's favor with gifts. When he found out his brother Esau was coming to see him, he thought Esau would kill him because of him stealing his brother's blessing and birthright. And he tried to buy him off. Jacob worried about his image. And finally, Jacob complains at the very end in Genesis 47, verse number 8 and 9. Genesis 47, verses 8 and 9. He's still complaining about his lot in life. Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life then, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Pharaoh said, "Jacob, how are you doing today?" He said, "I don't like the life that God's given me. I've had more trouble than anybody else, and I haven't lived as long as my daddy lived." And he complained, and he complained, and he complained. So you get an idea of this man, Jacob. But a glorious thing happened. Jacob became trapped by God's grace. Study carefully the book of Genesis as it relates to Jacob. Jacob became trapped by God's grace. Prevenient grace. Listen to that terminology. Prevenient grace is that grace which goes before a man's salvation. It prepares and preserves the sinner for the day of grace. Now, if you can swallow that, if you can catch somewhat of the sweet aroma of God's grace in that statement, it will change your life completely. That not only does God save us by His grace, but He keeps us to the very hour that He does save us by His grace. We're saved by election. God did not choose everybody. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And prevenient grace is this. We don't know who the elect are, but I can assure you this. When God elects a sinner to be saved before the foundation of the world, when that sinner's born, God builds a hedge about him. God moves in his life in a way to safely bring him to the place that he will come to trust Christ as his Savior and be one of the saved and one of the redeemed. If God did not do that, he would lose some of them along the way because of circumstances, because of the many things that can happen in life. But dear friend, I want to tell you this. God has a prevenient grace that whenever he elects one unto salvation, he makes sure that one will be in heaven and safely brings them to the place of repentance and trusting Christ as Savior. Prevenient grace. God kept hedging Jacob in. Every time Jacob wanted to go right, God said, "No, I'm not going to let you go right." Every time Jacob wanted to do a certain thing, it began to cave in on him. God was hedging him in and continued that until Jacob could run no longer and could look to no one else other than God. Prevenient grace. Let me quickly give you some examples of prevenient grace. Jacob was forced to leave home, losing the security of his mother. You have to read the narrative in the scripture, and this is revealed in that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was a mama's boy. She was as close to him as her own breast, as her own heart, my dear friend. And she loved Jacob more than she loved Esau. But there came a time when Jacob had to run for his life. Esau was out to kill him, and the only thing he could do was to leave. But if he left, he was going to have to leave his mama. And he was a mama's boy. Now, I don't know what the psychological effect of that was, but I can assure you this, it stayed with him until the day God changed it all. And we'll talk about that in a moment. What I'm saying is this, those bad things that happen to you as a person in this life, we look on them and we say, "Why in the world would God do something like that?" It may be he's hedging you in. to a place that you'll raise the white flag and say, I surrender all. And only God can do that. I have known teenagers, oh, my dear friends, that were so hell-bent. Please forgive the language. I know of no other way to describe that. They were so hell-bent on having their way and doing their thing. Mama couldn't help them. Daddy couldn't help them. The preacher couldn't help them. The church couldn't help them. Nobody could help them. But God hedged them in and brought them to the place of absolute nothingness until they cried out to God, Lord, I raised a white flag. And they stopped throwing grenades and shooting bombs off at God Almighty. God does that. God does that. And my dear friend, if God didn't do that, more people would be in hell that will be there throughout all eternity. God hedging him in. There's bad blood between Jacob and Esau. Well, they could sit down at the same table and eat that red bean soup, but that didn't last long. Esau said, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to kill him. Why was all of this happening? God was hedging him in. Jacob was cheated out of Rachel by his uncle Laban. Remember, he worked for Uncle Laban in his new home when he ran away from mom and dad and went to another place to live. He lived with Laban. And Laban had a daughter, and her name was Rachel. And Jacob said, you know what? That's the prettiest girl I've ever seen my whole life. I would really like to marry her. And Laban said, you really would like to? Yes, sir. He said, hey, well, you serve me 7 years, and I'll give you Rachel. Well, I tell you what, he served for 7 long years. And Jacob made this statement. It seemed as but a day because of the great love that he had for Rachel. He didn't mind working 7 years for her. But you know what? When 7 years were finished, they had a wedding. And here comes this new bride. And she's got a veil on her face. And Jacob said, listen, I want to take that veil off. And when he did, it wasn't Rachel. It was her sister Leah. And Jacob got with Laban and said, you have tricked me, and I told you I wanted Rachel. He said, how bad do you really want Rachel? You're going to have to serve me for 7 more years. 14 years. Don't you suppose that maybe Jacob asked the question, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? God was hedging him in, bringing him to that place of total surrender. He served 20 hard, long years with Laban. Genesis 31, 38 through 42. You remember one night he wrestled with an angel of the Lord. And he kept wrestling and said, I will not turn you loose until you bless me. And they wrestled all night long. That angel of the Lord, my dear friends, prevailed in that. And Jacob got his blessing. However, God said, you're going to limp for the rest of your life. And God smote his thigh, and Jacob became handicapped in one of his legs because of that thing that God had done to him. And everywhere he went, he had to hobble along. But every hobbling step he took, God was hedging him in, bringing him to that place of surrender. Joseph was kidnapped by his brothers. Who's Joseph? He's going to be a son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter, and one of those sons was Joseph. And oh, Jacob loved Joseph. He made him a coat of many colors. His brothers hated him and sold him in slavery. That happened to Jacob. It must have broken his heart because of the love he had for his son Joseph. And finally, as you read the narrative and as it progresses, Simeon, Joseph's brother, along with his brothers, go down into Egypt because of a famine in the land. And they go down to Pharaoh and they ask for food. In Genesis 42, verse number 24, and Joseph at that particular time has found favor in the eyes of Pharaoh, and they made him head prime minister over all of Egypt. He's the one that would distribute the food. But his brothers thought he was dead. And it was Joseph that was giving them food. And finally, Joseph says to them, "Do you have another brother?" And they said, "Yeah, we have another brother, Benjamin." "Well, why didn't you bring him?" "Well, Daddy didn't want us to bring him. He won't let him out of the house." He said, "Well, you tell him, I'm going to keep Simeon down here in Egypt, and he'll never be released until you bring Benjamin. I want to see this Benjamin." He kind of got tricked, trichyitis. That's a good word. He kind of got that from his daddy, Jacob, did he not? And so they go back to Jacob. And they tell him that unless Benjamin is required or released to go to Egypt, he's not going to let Simeon go. Jacob was now broken. No more lies. No more tricks. There is a verse in chapter 42, verse number 36, that says this. 42, Genesis, verse number 36. "Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not." As far as Jacob was concerned, Joseph was dead. Had been dead many years, he thought. "And Simeon is not. They'll kill him. And yet you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Every time I try to do something, it's the wrong thing, and I can't breathe this any longer." He's broken now. Now, dear friends, there's nothing in the world wrong with being broken. You got to be broken if you're ever fixed. The problem is realizing our broken status and our broken condition and the things that have happened. We need a help greater than ourselves. And Jacob had been brought to that place. Finally, God's grace produced faith in Jacob's soul. God's grace produced faith in Jacob's soul. Our text says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. But he did it by faith. And he worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Jacob blessed both sons of Joseph. By the time that Jacob got down to Egypt, he was an old, old man, and his health was just about gone. And Joseph, he found out, was alive, and Joseph came to see him. And you read about that in Genesis 48, verses 8 through 14. Genesis 48, verses 8 through 14, where it says this, "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons." Joseph comes to see his dad down in Egypt. He has his two boys with them. And Israel sees these two boys, and he said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." And then a very strange thing happens. Who was the firstborn? It was Esau. Of Joseph's sons, who was the firstborn? It was Manasseh. Ephraim was the secondborn. And Joseph has these two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, lined up to be blessed of their grandfather, Jacob. One would receive the blessing of double inheritance. Joseph wanted Manasseh because Manasseh was the firstborn. And so Joseph takes the two boys, one by the hand. He puts one child on one side of him, Ephraim, on his right hand. He puts the other side, Manasseh, on his left side, and he approaches Jacob. Now, when you turn the picture around, Ephraim, who is in the right hand of Esau, is going to be facing the right hand of Jacob. And the other boy, who's on the opposite side, he's going to be facing the opposite side. In other words, Joseph wanted the hands of Jacob to be placed on Manasseh. But Jacob was a step ahead of him. When the boys were approaching him, he just simply crossed his hands. And he let his right hand be placed on Ephraim. And he let his left hand be placed on Manasseh. And then Joseph tried to lift his dad's hand off of Ephraim because he wanted that right hand to be on Manasseh. And Joseph is explained to by Jacob, God hath done this very thing. God blessed both the sons of Joseph, and both sons would have an inheritance to Canaan. Why was this done? Now, this is a little deep. Say with me, why was this done? What has this to do with anything? It must have something to do with it because the text says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Why was this done? God's plan and regard for the number 12. Numbers are very important. I'm not talking about the book of Numbers in your Bible. I'm talking about numbers, a numerical sequence. Numbers are very important with God. Number one is God's number. I am the Lord thy God. There is none other but me. The number two is the number of witness. The number three is the number of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The number four is the number of the earth. East, west, north, south. And on it goes. But you come all the way down to the number 12. It is the number of government perfection. Government perfection. The very opposite of what you viewed on the Fox Channel when you saw this recent Senate hearing. The opposite. That was a bunch of squirrels acting like a bunch of squirrels. But number 12 is very important with God. How many tribes were there in the Old Testament? 12. The 12 tribes of Israel. How many apostles do you find in the New Testament? 12. There were 12 apostles. You go yonder in the book of Revelation and you read about these foundations of the holy city. How many foundations is the holy city built on? 12 foundations. And also there are 12 gates in those foundations, and those gates are full of 12 pearls in the holy city. And when you get into the holy city, my dear friend, there are 12 manner of fruits in the tree of life. 12. Everything is absolute perfectly organized with God, a perfect government. Stay with me. Joseph was a son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. But Joseph was considered dead. Jacob for years thought he was dead. And so you take away one from 12 and you come up with 11. 11 tribal sons. Levi was one of those sons, but because Levi was the priestly tribe, he was not allowed to own property. So he was not a tribal son. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the other sons received a portion of land in Canaan. Levi didn't because he was the preacher. The preacher's supposed to live by faith. He doesn't need property. And he doesn't need money and so forth and so on. That's the idea involved. So Joseph was considered dead, leaving 11 sons. Levi was appointed to the priesthood, leaving 10 sons. Now you've got 10 sons, tribal sons of Israel, and it's the number 12 that God initiated. When these two boys of Joseph stood before Jacob, he blessed both of them, Ephraim and Manasseh, and you take that 2 and add it to 10, and it goes back up to 12. Isn't that sweet? God knows exactly what He is doing. Though Manasseh was the firstborn, Ephraim was blessed in his stead with the right hand of Jacob. Why is that so important? Joshua, come on, would come from Ephraim. Jesus Christ came from Judah. Okay? Joshua would come from Ephraim and would be used of God to conquer Canaan. Moses could not go in. God chose Joshua to go in. Joshua came from Ephraim to conquer Canaan. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ who will come again and conquer Canaan at his kingdom. I think that's so interesting. The Messianic covenant was confirmed in verses 3 through 5. Jacob began to worship. When did he begin to worship? Our text says, when he or as he was dying, leaning on his staff. It's very important. Let's look at that. Genesis 48, 8 through 11. Genesis 48, 8 through 11. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. He said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Notice verse number 16, the angel, and that angel is spelled with a capital A, meaning it refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus Christ made many appearances in the Old Testament before he was actually born physically in the New Testament, and they're called pre-incarnate appearances. This angel is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. They become a part of God's program of grace in bringing it all about as God had originally ordained it to be. Jacob began to worship as he was dying, leaning on his staff. He could not cut any more deals. He was too busy dying, leaning on his staff. He could not run anymore. It's because he was busy dying, leaning on his staff. He couldn't work it out with cheating and lying anymore because he was dying, leaning on his staff. But my dear friends, the evidence is that Jacob looked straight there to God by faith and worshiped him at that time in a way he had not worshiped him his whole entire life. This concluding statement, God was with Jacob all the way. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He was with him during his whole life. Even in his sin and rebellion, God was with Jacob. What a God of mercy. What a God of grace. Jacob have I loved. Of all people to love, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. By faith, Jacob. God wants us to be people who live by faith and not by sight. Let's stand, please, for prayer.